From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative health care, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio. My guest today, and a returning guest, is Jordan Maxwell. He specializes in an interesting term. I'm going to tell you the term, and he'll explain what it is to you. Religio-political philosophy. Jordan Maxwell, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bruce, for allowing me to be here. The term religio-political philosophy comes from the two words religion and politics. And while many people may feel that there's a very definite difference, actually the fact of the matter is there's very little difference between religion and politics. They have always been in the most primitive cultures, always were one and the same. And even in the Middle Ages, and even today, throughout the world, we see connections between religion and politics, and especially do I see it in my own country of America. This country likes to feel that there is a very big division between church and state. In fact, no such division exists, if it ever did. And as I said, you can go back to the most primitive cultures in the world, back thousands of years ago, and the king was always the head of the religious establishment. You prayed to the king, and he talked to God. And, of course, we still have the same basic concepts today. We've shined it up and spray-painted it and painted it a new face, but it's still the same church-state relationship, which has always existed in the world. And if you think about it, you cannot go out today in America, you cannot go out and start your own church without a government permit and a license. You have to be chartered, you have to have a license, you've got to go through federal government regulations, etc., to set up a church. So you don't just walk out into the yard and put your hand on a rock and talk to God. You have to go through the certain governmental agencies to get a permit first. And then once you've set up the church, and if you get married within the church, supposedly you're being married before God, but you have to get a license from the state first. And, of course, if your marriage doesn't work out, you don't go to God, you go to court. And so we have military chaplains who are paid large salaries to teach religion to our military men. They are actually officers. So, and of course, there is a very definite connection between churches and our court system in America. And even in Canada, such similarities exist. For instance, in all churches and courts, the bench is always raised, as the altar is, up higher than the floor that the people are on. Usually three tiers higher or three steps higher than the floor, because that's the first three degrees of Freemasonry, which is called the Blue Degrees of Freemasonry. Churches and courts are always raised above the people who sit on the floor and the in the church and the court. And, of course, they always have a fence dividing the court from the people or the altar from the church. And the altar has the fence has a gate where the priest and those officiating can go through, but in the court, of course, it's the attorneys who are your mouthpiece, or the logos, who speak for, go before God for you, to speak for you. And, of course, if you run afoul in America with the law, they say you have broke the law, because as Moses broke the law on Sinai. So there are very many connections between our court system, our federal systems, and church systems. It's even referred to as churchcraft and statecraft, and it's both divisions of craft Freemasonry. Churches and courts and federal governments and governments in general are fraternal orders. It's a system, an arrangement, and it's been given its modern day concepts by the old ancient world. And so, as I said, in the ancient peoples always had their magic practicing priests or their holy men who sat right next to the king, and the king didn't do anything unless he talked with the holy man first.
Jordan, I just wanted to mention that it occurs to me that in listening to this, even our system of government, which is a representative type government, allows us or does not allow us to have access to the president, just as religion does not allow you to have access to God. Is this very similar?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I said, the both systems are identically designed. Most countries, you know, even in the East and in the Middle East, governments are always connected with God. I mean, you always see the bloodletting rulers, but they're always connected to the church or the religious institution of their country. And so in America, it's the same way. As a matter of fact, when a judge comes in, he wears a long black robe, which is the same black robe that priests wear. And graduates from high school or university wear a long black robe. And, of course, when you graduate, you wear the square, which is a mortarboard on your heads, which is, and then you become an alumni or an alumni. And all of these are terms taken from old Freemasonic orders of Europe, which were religious institutions. And so our government and our religions are all one and the same. We're being used, manipulated, exploited by one brain with two hands. The two hands, one is government and one is religion. But behind the scenes are the same fraternal orders operating that have always operated in just about every country you can imagine. We have terms which are continually used that we don't even think about. We, as I brought out in America, if you break the law, that comes from Moses breaking the law. And of course, our sheriffs had six-pointed badges, or the six-pointed star, which is the hexagram. And the terms, and as I said, it's not just relegated to America, it's all over the world. I mean, there's a very big difference, for instance, between the word British and English. Two different things here. British is from the Hebrew word Brit, meaning, as I said, a contract or a covenant, and ish is man. Therefore, British implies a covenant man, or man of the new covenant. And so, as I said, when the new king is crowned, listen to the words that the Archbishop of Canterbury says and has the king repeat after him, that he is accepting the kingship of England for Jesus Christ, and he will sit on the throne of Jehovah, the throne of David, in England for Jesus until he comes back to rule the world and to bring his kingdom. And so the concept was that God's kingdom would unite the entire world, and that's why even England is referred to as the United Kingdom. And so the terms which are used, and it's not just in England, of course there has been this division, and I wanted to get into this term, New World Order, and explain its connections with the Old World Order of Europe. Now, Europe being referred to as the Old World, and America is referred to as the New World. The word in the dictionary for order is as follows. I'm reading this from a dictionary. It says, a society or a fraternity of knights, or a combined military monastic character, as in the Middle Ages. The Knights Templars, for instance. A modern organization or a society more or less resembling a knightly orders or fraternal orders. Consequently, if you remember that in history for the past 1600 years, Europe has dominated the world, and we refer to Europe as the Old World. Therefore, the families and the banking families and the political establishment as such in the Old World of Europe dominated the world for about 1600 years, until the coming of America, which is we refer to as the New World. So when we hear the term New World Order, what we're talking about is a New World fraternity. A fraternity are a secret society, semi-secret societies, based on the old Knights Templars of the Middle Ages. And that's where we get the term New World Order. So when you hear the President of the United States talking about a New World Order, what he's talking about is a Knights Templar Masonic order that is seeking to dominate the world from America.
Now, tell me something, Jordan. Does our president know this?
Oh, of course our president knows that. He didn't get to be president if he didn't know it. So
major politicians know about this. Is this conspiracy?
Well, it's just business. It's just the way religion and politics have always operated. You go back into the Middle Ages of Europe. The king was always connected to the religious leaders. The pope always crowned the kings. You couldn't become king unless the pope crowned you king. Therefore, the church represented the power of God, and God himself was anointing you as king, but he had to do it through the church. And so there was always a connection between church and state in the Middle Ages, and there still is today. It's a more sophisticated connection now, but it's still there, and it still operates the way it has always operated, and that's why we really can't get anything done as people. We, the people of both countries, of both Canada and America and anywhere else, the people are actually the power of any government is in the people. Let me run back over that again. The power of any government is always in the people, but the people are not able to wield that power because they don't understand the way the system operates. They don't understand. They think that the system is for them. It is not for them. It is a system that has been established 1,000 years ago by the Knights Templars. It is a system operating and well, I might add, is very well in America and Canada. It is a religio-political scheme of things. And so we really do not have any control over such things if we don't understand them. And so I feel that the age that we're going into, this new era that's coming, this new turn of the millennium, we cannot continue for another 2,000 years of having the church and the state doing deals in dark rooms and smoke-filled rooms behind our backs. There has to come a change on this earth where people are going to be told, actually brought out public for everyone to see how these governments are set up, how the money is produced, who controls what, and put the power back into the hands of the people. And I think basically all people pretty well know that we really don't have any say-so in government, but we don't understand the mechanics of how they have taken it away from us. Well, to show you how this thing has been going on for thousands of years, just our word justice goes back to old Justinian, the Roman emperor in the Middle Ages. And we remember that at the founding of the Catholic Church, it was said that Constantine, the emperor Constantine at the Marfian Bridge, saw in the sky a cross in the sky, and in the cross he said that he read in hoc signo victae, which in Latin means in this symbol you will conquer or you will have victory. It doesn't say in the symbol of the cross you will feed the poor folks. It says in hoc signo victae, in this sign you will conquer. And that is, of course, what the Christianity set out to do in the form of emperors throughout Europe to one of the greatest time of bloodshed the world has ever known was the Crusades. And, of course, it's still going on today. I mean, even Steven Spielberg and George Lucas with their Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And, of course, the Last Crusade is between Indiana Jones and Adolf Hitler, as it was with the Lost Ark with Adolf Hitler. So there are connections. There are religious, philosophical, political connections between even our entertainment industry, our churches, our government. And, we grow up with these things and we don't even realize the importance of them. I mean,
All right, so the point here is that in many, many countries throughout the world actually say that they are religious. We are a country that says that we have separation of church and state, and you are saying that that is a bunch of hogwash.
That's exactly what I'm saying. There is no such a thing in America or Canada as a separation of church and state. I mean, all you need to do is watch what happens in a time of crises when, as we saw the President of the United States sending troops into the Middle East, and the first person that runs to the White House is Billy Graham, and all the top religious leaders are there to hold the president's hand and to admonish all the church-going people in America to stay loyal to the president and our boys. And it's, there is a very definite fraternal orders connecting religion and politics both in America and Canada and all of Europe. And of course, Europe, we've known that. We understand that the king always ruled for God, and you don't think so, you'll cut your head off. Well, here we have terms which are used. As I said, we have six-pointed stars for our sheriff, which comes from the old hexagram of Babylon in India, which later becomes known as the Star of David. And it's on our American seal on the back of the $1 bill. On the back of a $1 bill, you'll see the, on the right-hand side, you'll see the presidential, or what is called the Great Seal, with the eagle, and above the eagle is a six-pointed star, the hexagram, and the 13 stars. And of course, 13 is said to be an unlucky number. That has to do with religion, because of Jesus and his 12 make the 13. And of course, on the left-hand side of the American $1 bill, you'll see the Egyptian pyramid. And very few people have ever wondered why you have an Egyptian pyramid on a $1 bill in America. But that has to do with a religious movement. It is a fraternal order that is operating behind the scenes, and that is a symbol that they use. And above the pyramid, you will see the words in Latin, "Annuit Coeptis," which means our enterprise or our project is now a success or has been crowned with success. And so you say, well, that's fine. "Annuit Coeptis" is an enterprise that has been crowned with success. But what enterprise are you talking about? Well, beneath the pyramid, you'll see "Novas Ordo Seclorum." Novas is Latin for new, ordo is order, and seclorium is comes from the word secular. We get the word secular from that, meaning the world. So Novas Ordo Seclorum is new order of the world, the new world order. It is now a success. In other words, we have finally succeeded in America in dominating the world in politics, religion, commerce, and in every other way. Our enterprise is now a success. It's based on God, and God we trust. So, as I said, we've grown up and not even realized that symbols are like words. They're like letters of the alphabet. If you can put the symbols together, words start forming. And if you put all these symbols correctly together, they start telling you a story. And the story is very simple. We are being dominated, both in America and the West, by religio-political movements that operate behind the scenes. And that's why we the people, have really no control over government, because the people who are in control are called elitists. And elitist comes from El, which is the old Semitic word for God. Elitist means those who are close to God. We call them priesthoods. Priesthoods are fraternal orders. And so, we could go on like this all night. We've grown up with these things like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That's Israel in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. It says that the Israel will be white as snow, and the seven congregations of the seven smaller Israels. And Mary had a little lamb. And, of course, Mary was the mother of Jesus, and he was the little lamb. And Jiminy Cricket, of the Disney fame, Jiminy Cricket was J.C., which is your conscience, Jesus Christ.
We are talking about the obvious, or at least it wasn't obvious until this show started, the incredible amount of information that is coming out about our ties as a country to religion. Now, it was my understanding, Jordan, that when the forefathers formed this country and all those people who came here from other parts of the world, they came to get away from religion, and yet it looks to me like we have basically the same thing that we had before.
Well, actually, that's true, but there's we need to clarify something. When you say to get away from religion, the forefathers didn't really have in mind getting away from religion as such. They had in mind getting away from Roman religion, from the domination of the Vatican. That's what they were getting away from.
And I should also just interrupt for a second and say I didn't mean get away from religion, but get away from the domination of religion in the politics of the country.
Well, I have to go back and again say there is a dynamics to that we haven't looked at. What I'm saying is that the founding fathers were not trying to get away from domination of religion in politics. They were trying to get away from the Roman domination in politics. from Europe, because, as I said, Europe dominated the world for almost 1,600 years, and the Vatican dominated Europe. So what the Founding Fathers were trying to do, not to break away from religion completely, but to break away from the Roman influence and the power groups behind Rome, because the Vatican is merely like our White House. It is just a front for an actually front for a ruling elite behind the scenes. And as we know, that all kings have always had their oligarchy behind them, and we still have the same thing today in this country. That we know the president has little to no real power. The real power are the people who sit behind the scenes with those big fat rings and cigars, and they decide what contracts are going where and who's going to do what, because America was founded as a business. And religion, of course, in the way that we are practicing it in this world, is a business. I mean, it's like selling hula hoops and Coca-Cola. It's a business. And so the business of America is to dominate the world on a religio-political basis. And as I was bringing out before the break, about the connections that we see in our nursery rhymes and in terms that we use, I mean, the old Celtic magicians of England, the old magicians, we always picture the magic practicing priest with his magic wand, and all magic wands were always made out of Hollywood. And of course, we're still having the influence of Hollywood on us today with as I said to you before, Star Wars with Yoda, and Yoda comes from Yoda, which is a shortened form of Judah. And so we're having Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, giving us a lot of Kabbalistic, religio-political philosophy in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And as I said, you can't understand the Last Crusade if you don't know about the first one. And you have to ask yourself, why is it Adolf Hitler plays such a big part in the Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Last Crusade? And of course, the Last Crusade was for the Holy Grail of Jesus, the Cup of Christ. And so all I'm saying is that behind our political establishment is a religious establishment. It was founded in America to be a Knights Templar establishment. America is a Knights Templar order of Freemasonry ruling, or seeking to rule, I should say, the world, and what they refer to, the Knights Templars refer to as a New World Order, or a fraternal order operating out of the New World.
All right, let me ask you a question. We have spent quite a bit of time now, and you've explained to the audience and to me about the ties to religion. All right, now that we've gotten this, tell us, is this good or is this bad?
Well, it's both. It's good for those who are in power, and it's bad for you if you think for one minute you've got anything to say about government or the way this earth is going to be ruled. That we know we have little to no control over anything. It is very bad, actually, for us, the people, because we have no control whatsoever over our lives, over the destiny of our country, over anything. We right here in America, our money is being manipulated and exploited. Our people are being kept ignorant. Like Caesar said, give the people bread and circuses. They won't bother you. So that's what we have today. We're having tremendous amounts of alcohol and drugs and, of course, entertainments to keep the people busy so they're not educated to understand how America works and who actually owns the country, how it works, the religious connections behind the scenes. And I'm telling you, the most serious indictment I can make is that all of the terrible problems that we're seeing happening throughout the world that America is involved in, religion is involved in, behind the scenes. And I'm saying that what we need to do is we need to, for the first time, put down the ball games, the basketball games, and all of the games, because of North America is one big game show, and look at the seriousness of who we are, where we're going, and who these people are in power behind the scenes. And for the first time, looking at this new millennium coming, this new era of time, should be a time when we change all of this, things that have been going on behind the scenes. It's time we bring these things out into the public. And I've been doing this for 35 years, and only in the last 5 years have I gone public with this, because I've been doing this kind of teaching and these kind of workshops, etc., on a private basis. But I've decided to go public because I think it's time that people wake up, and it's like a wake-up call. I'm trying to get people to be aware that there is something very serious going on between church and state, and religion is equally to blame, and in my book, they're even more to blame for the political situations that we're seeing happening throughout the world. We know about what's going on in the Middle East, that these are religious wars between the Arabs and the Jews, and between Israel and her enemies. This all goes back to religion. But that is equally true even in this country. When we see the religious leaders coming here, like the Pope coming to the United Nations, well, he ought to, and because there's no actual difference between religion and politics. So what I'm saying is that as the people have always been the real power of a country if they take the power, but they've never really been given the opportunity. And so we don't have a democracy. What we have is a religio-political movement, or a fraternal order, orders operating together both out of England and America to dominate politics.
My question, Jordan, is this. It appears then that when there is a change of political parties in a country, then I guess nothing really changes.
Well, that's right. As a matter of fact, in America, we love to talk about the fact that we have we here in America have the right to elect. But we don't have the right to select. There's a very big difference. Because the selection, not the election, is where the action's at. And, of course, we're just given people out of the blue, immaculately conceived people like Jimmy Carter, who came out of nowhere, who was claimed to be a peanut farmer, who never was even near a peanut farm. He never even flew over one. This man was one of the most powerful bankers in the world. He was one of the founding members of the Trilateral Commission, a very powerful semi-secret cult that was manipulating world finance, and Jimmy Carter was one of the founding members. He was not a peanut farmer. He was a very clever and powerful man behind the scenes. We are pretty well knowledgeable about the fact that the wealth of any nation always runs the country behind the scenes. All I'm saying is that the religion is also part of this conspiratorial network behind our country and in other countries. The terms which are used in this country are very obvious to anyone who has taken the time to, of course, very few people do that, but I've taken like 35 years of my life to study. And I wanted to bring out how I even got into this. My mother's uncle, when I was a child, my mother's uncle worked at the Vatican in the Vatican Secretary of State's office as a civilian. And he would come back to America every few years for a visit, and he would sit and talk for hours and hours about the intrigue going on behind the scenes of Rome and their connections with the right-wing fascist movements of the world and Freemasonry's connections in America and England and the York Rite. And he was, these things I grew up with, and I've got in my family federal judges, and I had one, my great-grandfather was a senator. So I've grown up in this environment of hearing all of these stories, and it was always understood that these stories stayed in the family. We don't talk about them. And one of the favorite things that my grandfather used to say is there are two things we don't talk about, and that's religion and politics, because we don't want the people thinking about religion and politics.
All right, so your point is we are kept, as you said before, entertained. And certainly we spend most of our time working and trying to pay our bills. And then what's left is our inability to know what to do. What should we be doing?
I think what we should be doing is educating ourselves to something that I refer to as occult knowledge or hidden knowledge. The word occult doesn't mean the boogeyman's going to get you or the devil. It's hidden knowledge, hidden things which are not readily knowable to the people. But there is an enormous of material out there if you know how and know where to find it. And start taking a good look at your own church and your own religion, because everybody knows that everybody else is wrong in their religion. I mean, one person knows that everybody else is wrong except his faith. I'm saying that for everyone to look at where they are politically and religiously, and I think that the most important thing anybody can do is educate themselves to the world around them, how it works and how it has always worked and the way it's working now. Because, you know, we are all very saddened by the Kennedy assassination. I am one that says that the Kennedy assassination, John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, but John Kennedy in particular, was a religious, had profound religious overtones. Someone didn't want a Catholic dynasty beginning in America. And the way Kennedy was killed, the place he was killed, all the circumstances smack of religion. And so I'm saying that so much blood has been shed. So many men have died in this country thinking they were defending America when in fact they were nothing more than cannon fodder for some very powerful fraternal and secret and semi-secret societies operating both in religion and politics. And it's going to continue. And our conditions are not going to get any better until the people say enough and demand to have this kind of material brought out and let's look at it. Because if not, we cannot afford another 2,000 years of the same old religio-political movements handling world affairs. The world is too dangerous. The earth is too dangerous. We need to find out what's going on.
Where is God in religion?
What was that again?
Where is God in religion?
God is spelled G-O-D. You take it one O out of good and it becomes God. You take a D and put it in front of evil and it becomes devil or devil. These are just words. There is a very strong spirit. I am not advocating the wickedness of religion. I am saying religion is nothing more than a business. But I do recognize the spirit. And, of course, there is a very big difference between being spiritual and being religious. Spiritual, in my opinion, means someone's connection with their creator in a very private and personal way. And it has nothing to do with organized politics, organized running for office, or organized religion. Organized religion is nothing more than connecting itself to organized government. And we see that, as I said, in England especially. And then in this country, we see it continually. Terms and symbols and emblems and even the White House. I mean, you better find out why it is that America is ruled from what we call the White House. It's not a black house. It's not brown. It's white. And England is ruled from what is called White Hall, like the Lodge Hall or the Masonic Hall. Our racism, our whole conceptual idea of how we look at women is based on religion. It's about time we take a look at religion, what it really is, how it was founded, where it is being financed from, and how it is manipulating and exploiting us today.
So you're basically referring to dogma, I think, more than anything else. Is that right?
What now?
You're referring mostly to dogma.
Well, yes, I'm not talking about a spirituality between man and his creator. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about organized religion, which is organized by political minds. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about what we call today in the Western world the religious establishment. It's nothing more, in my words, nothing more than a fraternal orders that are connected behind the scenes to our political establishment.
Historically, wasn't this what Jesus did when he came, went through the churches? He was the one who disrupted the churches and said we didn't need these organized buildings in the first place.
Yes, and of course he's dead because of it. So I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying the same thing publicly that has been said before. It's nothing new. It's just that we get so involved in our everyday life, we don't even realize how much we've been taken over by both politics and religion. And I'm saying, again, and reiterating this point, look at your both politics and your religious establishment, because they are, in fact, two hands operating behind the scenes but by one brain. There's one mind behind the two. And so politics and religion are just two hands of the same body.
What an incredible interview we've had today. I want to thank you for having been on the show.
Well, I thank you for allowing me to be here.
People, of course, the reason that you're back on the show is because people like to hear this stuff and would like to learn more about how they can find out specific information. The show only covers so much, and I'm wondering how people can get in touch with you.
Well, first of all, let me say I've got over 100 bank boxes in my office of material accumulated over 35 years. I have just literally, you know, stuff everywhere. I've accumulated so much. I'm trying to actually, in fact, organize it a bit and put it into book forms. And I do a lot of lectures and seminars around the country and in Europe. And anyone who would be interested in having some material, I've got some flyers and some basic materials that I can offer at the moment, and I have a book coming out. Actually, I have two books coming out. As I said, I have so much, both in religion and politics, in symbols and occult emblems and occult symbols and occult organizations and movements and, you know, the churches and different cults that are operating throughout the world. So much that people just do not know about the religions and the political establishment that rules them. And I'm hoping to be able to wake people up, both in this country and Europe, to the monster that is operating and has been for the past 1,600 years.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan. We really appreciate the fact that you were able to come on Timeless Voyager Radio. And for those of you who may have just tuned in, this is Bruce Stephen Holmes. I want to thank all of you for tuning in Timeless Voyager Radio, and I hope that your own personal voyage through life towards the development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.